Welcome to the Soul of Business. My name is Heidi Stevens, and I'm a coach for women entrepreneurs just like you. My intention for this podcast is to share tools and techniques that I've found invaluable as I've built and scaled businesses over the past 10 years. My mission is to help you uplevel your mindset, get clear on your strategy, and access your intuition to create a business and a life better than you think is possible. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of inspiration and place to go for tools, techniques, and the perspective shift that you need to go out and get what you desire. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Soul of Business podcast. I am so excited to introduce you today to Felicia Alexander, who is the co-founder and co-owner of Box Union. Box Union is a 45-minute cardio fitness studio. They have two studios here in Los Angeles, one in the Beverly Hills area and one of them in the Santa Monica area. And Felicia and I sat down. She was actually one of the first guests that I hosted. This was months ago. And I felt so embarrassed interviewing her because she had invited me so many times to come to the studio and I had not been able to go. And I said, before I release this podcast, I'm going to get to a class. And it took me a few months to get it done, but I am so happy to share that I went last week, and I kid you not, it rocked my world in the best way. This class, you guys know me, you know, I'm all about moving energy and getting into your body and getting it out of your body. I told Felicia after I took the class, this is seriously like trauma recovery work. It is emotional work. This is a spiritual class. There, you're in the room. It's dark. The music is going. You have the opportunity to fully get into your body. And they take you through this boxing class that is part boxing, I wouldn't say it's dance, but you're doing boxing to a rhythm. And it was truly so healing, mind, body, soul. I actually felt like I was going to start crying at one point just because the emotions were coming forward in the best way. Like I just was getting it all out. So needless to say, I am now a huge fan of Box Union. I'm going to do my very best efforts to get there more often. Even with the two chitlins, it's hard for me to get to some of these workout studios sometime. But if you are in the Los Angeles area, please do yourself a favor. I know you're going to enjoy this class. Go get yourself to Box Union. And please, if you are a fan of Box Union, if you like this episode, tag both Felicia and I, and we will give you a shout out and give you some love on back. All right. Enjoy. Here we go. Felicia, you have got like a cult following going on. Like, I can't tell you. I actually feel really dumb even hosting you right now because I've not been to a Box Union class yet, and I cannot wait to go. And you've invited me so many times, and I cannot wait to get my buns in there. But every single person that I hear talk about it raves about this class.
I'm kind of speechless when you say that we have a cult following. It does give me chills, and that's really exciting to hear. And I'm very excited for you to come into the studio and experience it for yourself, because I think we have created something that's really unique and really special.
Tell me everything. Like, I want to know how, like, what inspired you to start this and how long have you been doing it?
I feel, in terms of the inspiration, that I've always been supposed to do this, and I had to take a few different detours in order to get to this path.
So know that feeling. Yes. Okay.
I love fitness more than anything. Like, if anyone asks me, what is your favorite hobby? At the risk of sounding shallow, it truly is working out and experiencing different types of workouts, doing different types of things.
Yeah.
We started Box Union in 2015. That's kind of when my business partner and I really started going out looking for real estate, mm-hmm. when we negotiated our first lease, when we started to develop the name and the branding and thought behind what the workout would look like. Mm-hmm. In April of 2017, we opened our doors in Santa Monica. And I guess the other part I should add is I left my corporate job in June of 2016 after feeling like it was too hard to try and straddle both worlds of being a great daytime employee managing a sales organization who was constantly flooded with thoughts about this business that I was setting off to go and do. And there would be meetings with architects and contractors and going to the lighting store and all of these things that I couldn't make enough client appointments.
Yeah.
To rationalize, like, not fully exiting my corporate world and diving in headfirst.
Right. Were you, like, the person who was like, oh, I'm, like, sick. And, like, oh, I've, like, got a lunch appointment for work. And you're, like, running off, like, meeting your architect to build out the space.
Totally. And it's really hard when you're managing a sales team. And they're like, well, where's the revenue that's associated with that meeting?
Right, right.
I had a lot of doctor's appointments.
Yeah. So
people must have been really worried about my mental health.
Yes, but you did it. So was that a hard transition for you to make to leave the corporate world?
It was so terrifying. I have always worked for large corporations. I've thrived in those environments. I've taken great solace in knowing that a paycheck would show up every other week,
yes,
that I had health insurance benefits. I married a wonderful man who was the entrepreneur in our relationship.
Okay.
And I was down and signed up to be the one that had the
health insurance.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I think it's shocking how much fear I had around giving up the health insurance. And like, what was it going to be like to go get health insurance on our own?
Okay, let's actually just talk about this for a second, because I feel like this is a thing. Like, I hear this when people are thinking through the process. They're like, but I've got health insurance. So why don't you just like lay it down for people? Like, what does it actually look like if you were to leave your job and leave health insurance behind?
Never stay in a situation because of the health insurance. You can get health insurance on the open market.
Yes.
It's not that hard. I can introduce anyone to the broker that I use,
yes,
to get my family on health insurance. And maybe we paid more out of pocket, mm-hmm, than I was paying when I was working for a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
But the delta should never keep one in a situation.
It's so fascinating to me how like the corporate world, it's a different mindset, right? And I come from such an entrepreneurial background. I've literally worked in corporate for a year before I left, you know, at the ripe old age of 22 or 23. So it's just never been a thing for me to pay. Originally it was $300 for my one person health insurance. And now it's about, I think it's like about $1,000 for us to have a solid PPO with my husband and my two kids. But it's like, on one hand, is that a lot? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's significant, but like when you look at what you're making or and like what you're, you know, building, it, yes. But did you also think about like retirement and like other types of things that come with that package, like paid holiday? Like, did any of that stuff come up for you?
No, I was honestly worried. And we were in a position where we knew that if I didn't have an income for a couple of years,
mm-hmm,
that was going to be okay. It was just the health insurance that I was really fixing.
Got it. So it's more of a mindset piece than an actual like needing the paycheck.
Yeah. That being said, I will say that I made conscious decisions and made shifts in my life. I, mm-hmm, no longer went shopping when I felt like it. Mm-hmm. I thought before I purchased things. The great news is my wardrobe changed dramatically. I went from, you know, wearing nice business attire to living in spandex.
Yes, but I do have to say, she may be living in spandex, but she just walked in studded Valentino tennis shoes. So they may be tennis shoes, but she still has got it going on. They're so cute. I'm obsessed with your shoes.
Well, you can borrow them anytime.
Thank you. So tell us about how Box Union, so it's opened up in 2015 and now it's 2019. What has happened? Where are you at now? How have you grown?
Yeah, and maybe I'll kind of dive back into the actual genesis of Box Union. So I stated that I've always been obsessed with fitness and really wanted to do something in this space all of my life. In college, I would tell my friends that one day I was going to open up something in the fitness arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no surprise to them that today Box Union exists. My passion for fitness led my husband to build a mobile app for me to be able to book classes at the studio that I was obsessed with, a great studio called Burn 60 that still exists today. They were his first customer. The technology he built was later acquired by a company called MindBody, which is the largest provider of scheduling software.
Wow.
In the
I did not know that.
Fitness and wellness space. So any so studio impressive. That has a branded app is technology that was originally built by his company to solve this pain point.
Sorry, can we just pause for a minute? You're like, yeah, my husband built the app that Burn 60 uses and now is mind, like, what? Like, who is your husband? That's so impressive.
No, he's great. He's just an amazing man who is a, you know, serial entrepreneur. And now he helps companies build their tech and consult on their business strategies.
You're blowing my mind.
So anyhow, I mean, that kind of was like our first foray into the business side of fitness.
Yeah.
We have an amazing business partner. His name is Todd Wadler. His wife, Britton, is one of my best friends. We met when our kids, I have one son who's 12. They have two. Their oldest is 12 as well. We lived around the corner from each other. We met when the kids were babies. We quickly became great couple friends. And for those of you that have a significant other, you know how hard it is to have couple friends where you both like.
Man, it's so challenging.
It really is. And then you throw a kid in the mix too, and there's a whole other dynamic. Totally. Like, do the kids get along?
Or they're younger, or they're way older. And yes, it is.
Yeah. And that's a thing. I'll say that my son and Todd and Britton's daughter, Drew, they still have like a wonderful, special friendship. And we've built this amazing business. Todd was looking to leave his career in investment banking. He was passionate about fitness. He had the opportunity and experience to work on a number of really cool health and wellness brands in his time as an investment banker. We really were looking at where there was a white space within the fitness landscape and where we thought there was an opportunity to do something that hadn't been done. I do have deeply personal connections to boxing. My maternal grandfather was an amateur boxer. When I was 16, my father died suddenly of a heart attack. And that summer I looked in the yellow pages. I found a boxing gym. I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of sadness. And I was looking for some sort of strength within myself. And putting on gloves for the first time and hitting something was a truly magical and transformative experience.
But I bet. Getting it out of your body, right? Like letting the emotions flow in that way is so
It's
impactful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And I think that I hear it from people every day when they come to Box Union and they've never thought of putting gloves on for the at all. And they put gloves on and they hit something. And they might even be the most zen yogis and they're so surprised by how they feel and how cathartic it is to be in that room and to really be able to let it go on the bag.
Yes, yes. A little just tangent here. So I've done, you know, quite a bit of my own inner work and spiritual work. And a big part of that has been really like letting it out of my body. And so I'll do like, you know, I've done like breath work and tantrums on my bed and, you know, do different moving meditations by Osho where you're literally like breathing and just kind of ecstatic moving all over the place. And so my husband's kind of gotten into this as well. And as, especially as from a man's perspective, it's hard for them to emote, right? Mm-hmm. So they really get it out by exercising and this and that. He has in his real estate business with his five junior agents, they have gloves and little punching bags at the office. And when a deal doesn't get done or they're just feeling that pent up energy, they literally pull them out, they strap them on and they just like go at it in the office. And it's so cool. And I feel like it's such a healthy way. You know, maybe they'll go also have a drink afterwards, but it's a way for it to like get it out of their body right then and there. I love it.
I love that. And let's get them all in for a class.
Yes. We have to.
I think they would love it.
They would love it.
So back to the formation of Box Union, we didn't see anyone doing anything different in boxing. There's definitely a lot of places where you could go and do boxing as a form of fitness in LA, but nobody had really thought through the experience from what did it feel like when you walked into the studio and yes. what was that emotion that you were trying to tap into? And for us, Box Union is all about empowerment and helping people find that inner fighter within themselves. And we looked at the architecture and wanted to intentionally not have a ring. We wanted the space to really be inviting. So somebody who was intimidated, which people are when they try anything new for the first time, but let alone you put the word box in it.
Yes.
And there's even more fear around that. And so we did everything that we could from a environmental design, from the way that the front desk treats and greets everyone who walks through the door to the programming. And what makes us really different is the fact that everything we do is in unison to the rhythm of the music.
You know, it's fascinating that you're sharing that because just in you saying this, it hasn't been a conscious thought because I'm just like moving throughout my day and I'm not so much of like a group fitness person. You're sitting here with me and I've got a gym in my office space. So that's kind of what I do. But as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, actually, you know, I may have just been dragging my feet a bit to get to a class because it is a bit intimidating. Like, really, boxing? And like, what am I going to walk into? And I never even consciously thought that. And so it's so, so good that you're bringing that forward.
Yeah. And we find that, you know, typically when people leave their first class, their most common reaction is, wow, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And it went by so quickly. And these are people who maybe they don't like to exercise. Maybe they love to exercise. Maybe they mm-hmm. say like, oh, I don't ever do cardio. I don't like doing cardio. And it's unbelievable how we have been able to attract people from all different backgrounds, people of all different ages, people of all different fitness levels. And what they find inside that room is really special. And it's something that they can't take outside as well.
So good. So good. What's the percentage of men versus women that come?
I would say today we're 75-80% female, 20% male. So those males, I mean,
they love it. It's like a dream class for them.
When I am in one of those rooms, I can't believe there's not more men in those rooms.
Yeah. My husband used to be like, I was really into yoga before I met you.
Right? I'm sure he was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great place to go.
Exactly.
So the workout was great and the scenery was even better.
100%. 100%. Well, cool. So, all right. So I'm hearing, you know, how the inspiration, the vibe. I'm so excited to come and check it out. And take us through the process of opening that first retail space and then now expanding this to the second, because this newest one is fairly new, correct?
Yeah, it's about a month old.
Oh, I thought it was like maybe 3-4 months. Okay, a brand new.
Yeah, maybe 6 weeks. It's not that old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So in terms of opening the first space, we found a space that we fell in love with. We both live in Pacific Palisades and we wanted to open somewhere on the west side because we felt like we had a base of contacts that we could draw upon, that we kind of understood the market, the landscape, as well as knew different people at different schools and really could market from a grassroots level being in our backyard. After we signed the lease, the company that we signed the lease with sold the retail portion of the building to another company. So then we were in purgatory and had to renegotiate the lease.
Just one little hiccup there.
Exactly. I learned that the permitting process with any city is not a process that you can ever predict how long it will take.
Let alone Santa Monica.
Yeah. They say that Santa Monica is one of the most difficult cities to build in.
Yes.
That being said, the city of LA was also a little bit challenging because there were different codes that had changed. And it all depends, too, on the inspector that you get and kind of like what they're fixated on.
Yeah.
So we had numerous hurdles that we never would have anticipated. But by the time we signed the lease to actually open up Box Union, it was probably close to a year. And that's, you know, a long period of time. And what was even more difficult is we went and hired a bunch of coaches.
Yeah.
And we had to figure out how to, you know, keep them on engaged as well as provide income opportunities for them while we waited for the studio to actually open. So there was a lot of things in terms of like, how do you hire? When do you hire? How do you keep people on board? What type of marketing do you do? When do you start marketing? If you start too soon, and there's no call to action, are you then just wasting that effort because there's nothing for people to do? And I think something like a fitness studio, once you start talking about it, people want to have the opportunity and ability to go and experience it.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
So I would say that we learned a tremendous amount from opening up Santa Monica and feel really lucky that we were able to open a second location because we could take some of those learnings from Santa Monica and apply them to our location on Robertson between Beverly and Third. We had a different shaped space to work with at Robertson. We decided to put the instructor podium in the middle, kind of like a theater in the round type of setup. So we put the podium a little bit higher, giving people a different level of visibility than they had in Santa Monica. And I also think we figured out some of our branding components and how we could bring them to life in the space. And as we look to scale and open additional studios in LA as well as outside of the LA market, it's really important that we have this kind of visual identity locked down so that when we work with our architect or the contractors in the various markets, like we know exactly what we're building and we're not reinventing.
So good. So I'm just thinking about like the listeners that are, you know, and it's like, I just hear like you're expanding, you're doing so many things. You've got such a vision for each space and you're figuring out how to do that. And there's a lot of moving parts, right? I mean, it's like, you're talking about hiring multiple people at once. And then the marketing, how are you doing all of this while maintaining your, you know, your home life, your personal life, your role as a mom? Like, how do you manage all these pieces?
I'm probably a little controversial when it comes to this whole notion of balance and that you can have like balance in your life.
Yeah, bring it.
I think that the scales are always weighed in one direction or the other. I think it's really hard to have balance. I think when I'm putting everything into work, then my home life suffers and my husband and my son aren't getting the attention that they want, need, deserve, et cetera.
Yep.
And I think the time when I am, you know, fully invested and present with them, then I'm neglecting things on the work front.
I so appreciate you just laying it down because it's true. It's so, so true. And I often say that there's seasons.
Yeah.
Right. And to think of this, there's like this some utopia that you spend an hour in the morning exercising and then 3 hours doing this and then da 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 da, right? And then like an hour and a half with your kid. It's like no day is ever going to look like that.
No.
And sometimes those seasons go for a month or 2 months. And that can be challenging when you feel like, gosh, I just need to spend more time at home or I just need to spend more time on my business. But what have like kind of what have you found to that that supports you in kind of getting through those seasons when you're feeling that like, ah, I'm like spending, you know, more time on one or the other?
So the great news is my husband and son have been through this before with this being the second studio. We've also made some really great hires. And I think that is really important as we grow. In fact, a week and a half ago, we just welcomed what I'd call like our first really big hire. We hired a director of sales and operations who has about 10 years experience in the fitness industry. Most recently, he was working for a number of Orange Theory ownership groups. And it's really exciting because he is the first hire that we've made that really has a lot of industry knowledge.
Yes.
And that's exciting in that we are super invested in him. Obviously, there's a little bit of, you know, fear in the unknown and you know, letting somebody in to help raise and grow and shape our baby,
yes.
but we have a big vision and it's going to take a lot of people mm-hmm. and we have to empower those people and we have to know, you know, what our core values are and mm-hmm. we have to make sure that we're hiring people that reflect those core values.
Oh, this is so good. Because what you're sharing here is like really on like a macro scale for what most of my listeners and, you know, clients are, I think, are going through. But what I hear you saying is, and this applies to whether you're a solopreneur, really just like getting your business up and running, or if you're at the level that you're at, opening new studios and hiring multiple people, it's this idea of letting go.
Yeah.
And it's this idea of just really taking your hand off of feeling like you have to have control of every single thing. And at least in my experience, that's so much more of an internal job mm-hmm. than just like writing out the job duties, you know? And so, you know, can you share with us what's been your process of being willing to let go for the sake of the growth of your company?
I mean, I think that the process is like, where do you want to be and how do you want to get there? And understanding that I'm not the best person to do every single job.
In yes. fact,
like if I do my job and my business partner does his job, we will have people around us that are, you know, smarter than us in a lot of different areas, and we will rely on their expertise and their strengths, while guiding them based on like what the overarching vision is mm-hmm. and what the values are that we believe in and what the Box Union brand and ethos is all about. But for, you know, me or anyone on our team to think that we can make it happen all on our own is incredibly naive. And mm-hmm. I was just doing some work today and, you know, we have two studios and we've got 46 people on our payroll. Like there's a lot of people already and it's, you know,
yes.
it's not even that big, yet.
Yeah. You're just getting started.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a big monthly nut.
Yeah.
My goodness. I hear you. So this podcast is called The Soul of Business. How do you experience soulfulness or spirituality inside of your business?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that question, and I've been thinking a lot about it. And I think, you know, what it really means to me is all based on the notion of letting go and empowering people and understanding that everybody comes to the table and brings their whole self into work, good, bad, or indifferent, mm-hmm. and that, you know, you need to really meet people where they are, nurture people, understand that you can't have happy customers unless you have happy, fulfilled employees, and figure out how you can cater to each person's individual needs, wants, and desires while maintaining the course of the business.
Goosebumps. Goose, what I hear you saying is that it all starts from the top.
Yeah.
Right? Like the way that you are at the place where your team, your coaches, your everyone is ultimately a reflection of you. And that's a huge responsibility, but it's also like there's also just so much excitement in it. Like, wow, like we can really, if you can get that down, you know, and you are, it's like that's what continues to grow. And the truth is, like, people are always the hardest piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I would say that that's a big juxtaposition from going from a corporate environment to this type of environment is it definitely, you know, you're dealing with a different type of person. And this is a people business. And at the end of the day, people remember how you make them feel. Mm. And our job is to make everybody feel like they're a champion.
Words to live by there for sure. If someone that's listening to this and is either thinking about leaving their corporate job or is, you know, just getting started on their entrepreneurial journey, what's your advice to them?
Know your why. Like, know exactly why you're doing it and yes. make sure that you have a really strong Why? Because you, if you're anything like me, will be met with a lot of naysayers and people who are telling you all the reasons why what you're doing is not a good idea, why you're entering into a crowded landscape while there are so many other people doing something similar, or that boxing to the beat sounds like a really dumb idea. Like, know your why and be passionate about it and have conviction, because there will be a lot of people questioning you and the entrepreneurial journey. It is a roller coaster. So I will say that the highs are so high and the lows sometimes have you asking yourself, like, what did I get myself into?
How do you define your why, and how does somebody get there?
So how do I personally define the why? I mean, we really want to create an environment where we can leave people better, not just in mind, but also in body. And how do we get there? I mean, it's every day thinking about what that experience looks like. And I think the product that we have in Box Union today is not the product that we're going to have tomorrow, a month from now, 6 months from now, because consumers' needs are constantly changing, mm-hmm. and we need to continue to evolve to meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. So amazing. So amazing. Any final thoughts that you want to share and leave our listeners with?
I love that you have this podcast. I love that you have created such an amazing business and platform to help other people grow and develop and unlock their inner potential. My last piece of advice is, if you are passionate about something, put your head down, do the work, and make it happen. It's so cliche, but people say, if it was easy, everyone would do it. Yes. And it's true.
You are speaking the truth. And you are, yes. I mean, I tell that it's like, we make it more complicated than it is. Yeah. Just, it's like, go out, do it, get your first five clients, do the thing. And then like, go get your next five clients, and you get smarter and you get better and you just keep taking that next step forward.
Yeah. And there's no dead ends. Like, there may be some obstacles, but like, you can figure out how to get over them, around them, through them, underneath them.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. You've given so many juicy tidbits here and so many wise words. And I know that our listeners are going to love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.